From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans. This is the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Post All-Star Break episode, BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, your Stitcher apps, and of course on BleedBlueShow.com. Also, got Knicks games coming up this weekend. Want to get stakeholder thoughts. And it's ironic, the Knicks are actually coming off a win. So they got the win last week in Atlanta versus the Hawks. And nonetheless, I know a lot of Knicks fans are in that tank mode, quote unquote. If you're a veteran Knicks fan, you probably think otherwise. But hey, man, we're still going to have this discussion, going to talk Knicks, talk NBA. Now, outside of the Knicks, of course, as we air this episode, a huge, huge, huge game in the ACC, Duke and North Carolina. So if you are a Knicks fan, you may want to pay attention to the talent pool and get a good eye on the talent that's going to come out in the NBA draft this season, especially the guys from Duke and North Carolina. So may want to pay attention to that. So this is really a freestyle type of episode. There's really no point, no post game, no direct emphasis, just the thoughts of what the hoops with Far Squad and NBA, as well as college basketball, as well as far as looking forward as the season got, 24, 25 games left in the regular season for our squad. So it is what it is. I did not see not one peep. Okay, I'll take it back. I didn't see any of the events or the skills challenges, slam dunk, three-point. I saw bits and pieces of highlights, but I kind of like, you know how you see it and you happen to catch it and you just kind of go about your business. So I don't know who won what. Maybe the stakeholders, if they want to chime in on the All-Star. I've been done with All-Star weekends for years, man. As far as like going out of my way and watch these events on television or whatever. So I'm good on that. Let's talk sports. Talk our squad, the NBA hoops, all in general. Donardo DP has joined the dialogue. I'll bring him on. Don, what's going on, man? How's everything?
Good, Steve. How you doing, bud?
Good evening, man. Good evening, man. I mean, this is really no this episode is really nothing we're pinpointed based off, the Knicks play last week. All-Star weekend was last weekend. I mean, anything that's on your mind with the hoops. I know you're a big college hoops guy. I don't know if you have eyes on the game tonight, especially it kind of indirectly impacts the Knicks. But what are your thoughts? I don't even know what you're going to say. So go ahead and spill it, man.
Well, first of all, you know I'm a big UNC fan, so I'll be watching that game. So it should be interesting because here's the funny thing. If you never watch UNC, and I understand the high, Steve, because North Carolina is going to run. So they may see something that they haven't seen this year. Because North Carolina, I was just on the phone with my son. I said, I started watching North Carolina at the beginning of the year. I was like, when did they do this? You know, they was always that methodical team, you know. When did they just start grabbing the ball and running? Their record ain't as good as Duke's, but I tell you what, Steve, it's going to be an interesting game. And remember, what is it, in 9-10 days, they do it again, this time at UNC. So for those that don't watch college basketball, I'm assuming they'll watch it tonight just to see Zion Williams. But they may get a surprise watching UNC too.
Yeah, I don't think he should be the only guy, Knicks fans, or just – well, especially if we're talking directly to the Knicks fan, I would – R.J. Barrett is no sleeper. You've heard Mr. Live bring his name up a couple of times. And he's – if it wasn't for Zion Williams, because he's a more of a freak athlete – he's kind of more star. He's kind of more highlight material. RJ Barrett is going to be a hell of a pro. He's got that type of NBA game. So they should not. Knicks fans are just, if you're just tuning in to watch college basketball, and you really want to get a good glimpse. These guys are not the first time. Now, let me talk about North Carolina real quick. I like that win they had earlier this year versus Gonzaga. I remember watching that game. That was a hell of a win. I'm kind of a little disappointed that they lost to Virginia. I don't know if you saw that game. It was a couple of Mondays ago. I wanted to know what was your thoughts. If you've seen those two in particular games versus the top-ranked teams, the Virginia game, the Gonzaga game, they were both games at home. And then maybe we'll spring in a little bit of Knicks, rest of the league. I don't know if you saw any of the All-Star stuff, if you even care about it. Like, I don't care about it, but feel free to chime in on that as well.
Yeah, I saw the UNC game, Stephen. This is the funny thing, because I watch them all the time. The one thing that has been, I hate to say, disappointing with them. I mean, they're still ranked number 8, Steve, but they've had too many up and down games. You know, even some of the games they won, Steve, where they should have really blew a team out, but they didn't. And then, of course, they had the letdown against Virginia, but they still got a good team. And the thing about this game tonight that people should be watching instead of just watching Zion, well, you brought one guy's name up, Steve Barrett. You know, him and Reddish, these guys can shoot. To me, I hate to say this, because Williamson has got so much, you know, ink, and understandably so. But when you look at Barrett and Reddish, they sort of fit today's NBA. You know, they're lanky, they can shoot. They can shoot from the outside. You know, we don't have a lot of that, you know, grounding and pounding. Though Williamson is very athletic, don't get me wrong. But again, Steve, in today's NBA, with shooting being, I hate to say, the top of the food chart, because it is, these guys might fit the, and I'm watching on my iPad, North Carolina ran right down court and scored, but they fit the NBA. I'm not saying you pass on Zion Williamson if you got the number one pick. Don't. But these other guys, Steve, they got some. I don't know, Steve. It's going to be interesting. Whoever gets the number one pick, it's going to be very interesting.
Right. It looks like as we air this episode, it looks like Zion Williams just went down. It looked like he tweaked an ankle, or with May defending him as we speak. So we'll see how that goes. I think he's going to be fine. They didn't carry him off the court or nothing. So I know if you're a Knicks fan watching this, you're probably gasping for your breath.
You probably passed out already.
Like only the Knicks, right? You know, no. Let me say this. You said you kind of mentioned the All-Star games, but I'm looking at the number one pick. I wish the NBA did the Knicks a favor. I think, I don't know if I said this on the episode last week or if I said it in a tweet. I think the Knicks, I know the percentages. We know the percentages. 14%, 14%, 14% if you're the first team. If you have the worst record, you go no lower than 5 in the lottery. I think the NBA should do the Knicks a favor and give them the number one pick. I know there's going to be auditors, you know, looking at the ping pong balls. But to me, Dom, come on, man. The Knicks haven't had the number one pick, since Ewing maybe? And on top of that, Dom, the Cavaliers, who probably are going to battle the Knicks for the worst record, how many number one picks have they had since LeBron? I mean, they've probably had at least 3. They had LeBron, Kyrie Irving. Remember that dude, the dude from UNLV. What's his name? Anthony Bennett.
Bennett from Canada.
Right, and that did not work out. They had 3. And literally the Phoenix Suns, just had the number one pick last year. So I don't know. There's no rule to say you can't have the number one pick year after year. But on the strength of those two teams are probably going to be with the Knicks with the worst record. They should just give the Knicks, do the Knicks a favor, and give them the number one pick. It'd be good for the NBA, man. The anticipation on that. I don't know. I know that's really wishful thinking, but I that's just kind of how I feel. Maybe it's just the fan in me or what. Just going forward with the picks. I know I'm still the fan, Don. I'm still a fan that wants to compete, regardless. I'm glad they played the way they played versus the Hawks. It was an end-to-end win. They didn't quit. they actually played well. And surprisingly, the Hawks, who actually came off a win over the Lakers for whatever it's worth with LeBron, the Knicks outplayed them. I think I heard you say the last time that if the Knicks had Dennis Smith Jr., Mitchell Robinson, certain pieces to the squad, you think they will be better than what they are. And I think I can agree with that. It's just that they don't have the number of games together like they would, you know, before the trade. So what is your thoughts with all these other pieces? And I know, did you see the game versus the Hawks? I thought John Jenkins had a nice game, and they gave him a 2-year deal. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't think the deal they gave him was for two guaranteed.
It's not two guaranteed, though. That's true, though.
Right.
Two years, nonetheless. Right.
Again, Steve, I go back to what I always say, and forgive me for doing that, because, again, you get these guys at this stage of our season. Again, me and my son just had this conversation. We need to see these guys playing competitive games, because let's be honest. A lot of teams are going in playing the Knicks, except maybe your Atlantas, Clevelands. They're going in with, oh, this is a win. You know, so how much effort are they really putting forth? And the one thing I wanted to say, because you brought it up, about the draft picks. Of course, we'd love to see the Knicks get the draft pick, but I still have that funny feeling in the back of my head, Steve, about the draft being like what it's called, the lottery. Remember, Philadelphia tanked for 100 years, got 5 picks, and only got 2 of them left.
Right.
So how did that work out for them? If you're not going to build, and believe me, I may be one of the few that would think outside the box, depending on where that ping pong ball falls, I may try to pawn that off, especially, again, Steve, just taking a shot in the dark. You know, you may be able to package that pick, a couple of these guys we got on the end of the bench. But let's say an Anthony Davis. I mean, it don't hurt to ask, because I'm always thinking, again, it's confusing trying to think along with the Knicks. Did they change their process every 5 minutes, going young, using money, getting rid of Porzingis, freeing up cap space? So let's just say hypothetically, Steve, you are looking to use the cap space and draw free agents. I think Anthony Davis would be a bigger lure than a pick. You know, this kid might be the next Charles Barkley, Steve, but he may not be the next Charles Barkley for 3 years. So is a free agent going to say, well, you know, they got this guy, we're ready for the next step? Yeah, I don't know. I look at so many other teams that have tried this route and then in between this route had to reinvent the route, reinvent the wheel, still go out and get all these other players to mesh with the 2 of the 5 picks you actually kept. So, again, it depends on, you know, where your mentality is, what you're trying to do. It's so scratchy with the Knicks. I mean, think about this, Steve, without me getting winded. Let's just say, hypothetically, we keep Dennis Smith Jr. We may even keep a DeAndre Jordan to mesh with Mitchell Robinson. Now when we go into free agency, with or without the pick, Steve, we have a couple of pieces. Now you can actually set your sights on what the hell you really are looking for. Okay, you need a wing. You need I hate to use the word Durant, but say a player like Durant, a player like me and my son was just talking about, Middleton or Milwaukee. You know, do you have to, because you have 3 max slots left, do you have to use all 3? Or 2, or whatever. Because remember, the Knicks are going to have to flip a good 8 to 9 players that are on 1-year contracts now. So you either bring them back, or you have to go back out and replace them. So you're still in a pickle. But if you have some core pieces, I forgot to throw in Kevin Knox. He'll be there. So you have some core pieces, Steve, be it young, other than maybe DeAndre Jordan. I don't think it would be, I hate to say, a swing and a miss if they don't get every top free agent. If, again, Steve, if you keep your draft pick, then you go out and get A, B, with the money. You don't have to spend it all. But you're building something because now you actually still have the youth that you had, and you're filling like Philly did. Philly didn't go out and get max contract players. They got very good players to fit into that system. So, again, Steve, it's I hate to say it, man. It's all about the Knicks' mindset and what their plan is. And so far, I guess this will be the biggest season that their front office has had in, let's say, 8 years, maybe, when Donnie Walsh freed up all the cap space.
The
you know, this will be their
signing.
First time. Well, yeah, this will be their first shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see what they do. You know, what direction are you going to go in? I always say, Steve, it takes that one dude, that one player. Let's say an Anthony Davis. The Knicks trade for him. They get him. He extends. He's going to stay. It may just take that one guy for other players to say, you know what, I wouldn't mind teaming up with him. And you just say hypothetically, Steve, you trade your pick, you get Anthony Davis. You get Anthony Davis, you get Durant. You got Dennis Smith. You got Knox. That's not bad, Steve, for the Eastern Conference. You'll at least compete. Then again, you know, you got to fill in those other spots. A couple of guys might be able to hang around, Avon Lay. So at least you're building something more competitive. But you got to have something to sell, Steve. If you're going into the free agency with, hey, Steve, we'd like you to come play for us, but Steve don't see no real, you know, how long is this going to take for us to get competitive? And Steve the star ain't buying into it yet. You're in a pickle then. Because then we're back to square one, Steve. Then we'll finally, I guess I'll say this before I, if all of that don't pan out, Steve, we're actually back to the original plan. That we're going to go young, we're going to build through the draft, we're going to do A, B, C. So in other words, the Knicks actually have a fallback excuse if they don't land no free agent, which puts you back a few years. But if that's going to be their plan, Steve, now we understand it. Now we know what we're moving forward with as fans. So we know we're going to have a couple of more suffering seasons. But at least we know, you know, all of this going with the youth, saving the money for free agency, going with the youth. You know, this summer, Steve, will put us in a different mindset as a fan, if that makes sense.
Right, right. Definitely does. Let's bring on Chandler to the dialogue, and then we can bring on Anna after that. Chandler, you first. Just freestyling, what's your thoughts? Me and Dom were just talking, discussing that. I didn't watch one lick of the All-Star game. Or the festivities. I know the Duke, North Carolina has a game. A lot of players that are NBA ready. I have a lot of Knick implications to it, if you want to chime in on that. Or anything around our squad, the Knicks, the NBA, so on and so forth. And then we'll go to Anna after that. But you first, Night Channel 7. What's going on, man?
Yeah, sorry I'm late. I was watching a movie, lost track of time. Listen, I don't know. I'm not buying into the whole they're going to get anybody. You guys know why I'm not buying into it, because for 40 years it hasn't happened. And I still see the same guy in charge. I still see a franchise that doesn't have a winning culture. I believe that free agents, once again, is just using the Knicks to leverage, getting a better deal somewhere else. You know, I would love to be wrong, but I don't think I am. You know, when it comes to this kid, you know, and I'm kind of sick of hearing about him simply because stop telling me that you never seen this. When we watched the 6'4 Charles Barkley at the same size do the same things in college. So, I don't believe that he's the first coming of anything. We've seen this package before. Will he be able to do it at the NBA level? I don't know. But I'm just kind of the hyperbole around the kid is just ridiculous as far as I'm concerned with what they're saying. And, oh, we never seen this. Yeah, we have. We have seen it before. And we saw what it got 2 inches shorter and probably about 20 pounds heavier. But, as far as the All-Star game goes, I didn't watch 1 second of it because I knew that dunk contest was going to be trash, and it was. It's, I don't know. I still don't really understand what the Knicks are doing. I still don't, because you make the trade, okay, now you still have a bunch of guards on the team, too many guards. What happens if you don't get the free agents? What happens if you don't get them? Now, do you use this draft pick? And what happens if you don't get the number one draft pick? Where do you go if you don't get the number one draft pick? Now, honestly, the kid I wanted all along was Bol Bol. That's the guy I wanted all along, because I wanted a bigger player than Zion, honestly, because I think with Dennis Smith Jr., if he continues to progress, grow his game, get a jump shot, get a little bit better all-around game, I don't think you need another 6'5", 6'6", guy. I think you need a bigger player. You guys know I like bigger players anyway, and Bol Bol is extremely talented, but with the broken foot and him being a bigger player, do you want to draft him? Because are we just setting ourselves up for another tall guy who's going to have leg and feet issues? So I'm not sure what they do if they don't get it. I don't see Anthony Davis coming here, because the thing I keep hearing him saying is he wants to go somewhere where he can win consistently. You're not going to win consistently the first 2-3 years, even if you get him. So why would he sign an extension? You know, I know I don't want Kyrie Irving. I know it's supposed to be blasphemy, but I don't want Kyrie Irving anywhere near my team. I mean, he can't get along with guys in Boston that are really good players. How's it going to work in New York? So, you know, I don't want him anywhere near the team. For me, if you're going to do this through the draft and whatnot and then try to get a free agent, then you're looking at 2 years before you do it, because you need to establish some kind of foundation. We still don't know if Fizdale can coach, by the way. We still don't know if Fizdale can coach. So I'm not sure what they're doing. I just know I'm not buying into this everybody wants to come to the Knicks thing that's being said, because I don't believe it. I don't see what's attractive. And don't tell me what's Madison Square Garden. They can come play at Madison Square Garden twice a year without having to deal with the BS that goes along with playing for this franchise. So I don't know what they're doing. I just know that I need to see more out of Fizdale. I need to just see a lot more out of Fizdale and that front office before I believe that anybody's ever going to come here.
All right. I have additional questions, but I'll hold off on that when we go back around. Let's get Anna on and get her thoughts on our squad, the Knicks. Anything she'd like to add on NBA All-Star Weekend, the draft candidates, you could say, and some of these games in college, anywhere she would like to go. Anna, what's going on? Welcome back, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Hey, be quiet. Sorry. I didn't watch really much of All-Star Weekend. I did watch the dunk contest, of course. You know, I got to support the guy. As far as where the Knicks are going, I mean, I think we're in a great place to at least attempt to get somewhere, in a better place than we've been in many, many years, money-wise. Does the free agent come? Being, you know, we're still a very young and growing team, I don't know. I would like to say yes, but, I mean, as Chandler said before, you know, we've been fans forever, and, you know, as much as we want to say yes, it's going to happen, history tells us it's not going to happen. So then what do we use that money on? We use that money, to me, if we can get no good free agent. We use that money on building the role players to attempt to get a free agent in the future, or mm-hmm. to trade in the future. Like, if worse comes to worse and we just end up with 1, 2, or 3 draft picks, okay, now we have to go. If no free agents are wanting to come, which I think someone will, and like the caller before Chandler said, it's only going to take one to come. Because we do have good pieces now. Although they're young, they're good pieces. If one does come, that's going to open huge doors for us. I mean, the East isn't hard. And that's my thought process. I think someone will come because the East is too easy. at this point, who are the good teams in the East? Toronto, Boston, Milwaukee. Toronto hasn't made noise in the playoffs in forever. Boston, who knows what's going on with them and Kyrie and that whole situation. And Milwaukee's just super young. So will they make noise? You know, they're good regular season teams, but we all know, you know, come playoff time, that's a whole different monster. So if I'm a free agent, I'm going East. The West is too hard to win, to attempt to win in. So, yeah, someone definitely should. Will they? We'll see. And as far as the draft, I mean, I don't really watch college basketball like that. And I guess it will all depend. I mean, I hear, you know, people talk about the three guys in Duke and then the guys from Murray State. I guess it will all depend on the route we're going, the free agents we're going to go after, and whether we keep Dennis Smith or not. Do we go after another guard where we have him? It looks like Frank is never going to go anywhere because front office seems to be in love with him. We got Trier, who will always come off the, you know, who's going to come off the bench at guard or whatever. So I don't think we draft a guard, so then we draft a big man, I guess. But then that will all depend on, are we going to go after AD? Are we going to go after KD? It really just all depends on what free agents they're going to go after, who they're going to go after in the draft, in my opinion.
Right. Let me ask you this one, a question, then we'll go back to Dom. And if Don has any questions for Chandler and yourself and myself, what about the point guard player, the guard play in general? How have you liked it with Dennis Smith Jr.? His play? I talked about John Jenkins. I thought he played well in the game versus the Hawks. So what about Smith Jr., Jenkins, Kadeem Allen? What about how have you been and how did you like it, disliked it? What's your thoughts? And then go back to Dom.
I mean, I haven't watched many of the games lately, the last, you know, few games before All-Star weekend. But Dennis Smith, I've seen a couple of games he played. I watched highlights. I mean, I think I like him. I think he's developable. I think not for nothing, playing in New York is a whole different monster than playing anywhere else. And I think he has that gutterness, if you want to say that. He's rough. Mm-hmm. And you need players like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need that, you know, that Charlie Ward, that John Starks, that IDGAF attitude. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, and yeah, I right. like that from him. And regardless of how talented they are, and that's not taken away from his skill because he's put up great numbers with us. But you got to have that attitude. And that's New York basketball. And so I think he fits right in. And I think he has a huge chip on his shoulder because of the way Dallas dealt with him and the way they handle him. And I think he stays. I think you build around him, whether it be he's the starting point guard or the backup point guard, I think he stays on the team. The other two guys, what was the second one you named? Not Kadeem Allen, the other one.
John Jenkins.
Yeah, I haven't seen him play. I think I've seen Kadeem Allen play once, but he was like in the G League, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right, I think I've seen him play once. But Jenkins, didn't we just sign him for like a 2-year?
Yeah, non-guaranteed though. But yeah, nonetheless, right. You're right.
Right. So, I mean, I guess he impressed somebody. Frank,
he impressed me,
I'm still
too.
Not sold on him. Huh?
He impressed me. Well, he didn't impress me. I'm kind of actually surprised in the sense that he was available. I remember when he was in college at Vanderbilt, he was an excellent shooter in college. And then I know the right. Hawks drafted him. I don't know what happened with them, but he came in there and this league needs shooters and he's a great shooter. He's an undersized guy. Maybe that's probably his knock and why teams don't give him a chance, but they gave him the time. Fizdale gave him the time and he delivered. I mean, let's see what the kid could do for the rest of the season. And I love what Kadeem Allen has done. I said that the last week or two, and I know Dom and Chandler has added on it, especially Knickerbocker has.
Mm-hmm.
What about Mitchell Robinson? What's your thoughts on that? Then we'll go back to Don. What's your thoughts on Mitch?
I like him. I mean, I'm a fan of his. I think he has a lot of body to build up. He's so lanky. But I think his his intuitiveness to the ball. He knows where that ball is at all times. Once he learns how to use his body and not foul, because he's huge. You see what I'm saying? You don't need to, you know, reach all the time. You're big enough just to raise your hand and position your body in a way where no one can get around you. So once he puts a little weight and he figures that out, he's super young. He never played college ball. You see what I'm saying? Like, he's practically a kid out of high school.
Right.
Once he figures that out, I think he's going to be dope. And I think having Jordan on the team is going to help him grow and learn that.
Mm. Right on. Hey, Dominic, anything else you'd like to add? And I mentioned John Jenkins. I don't think you chimed in on that earlier. And I know you watch college basketball, and same with you, Chandler. But I'm surprised John Jenkins was given the opportunity with a lot of these pro teams where he's been an excellent shooter. And this league needs shooters, and the Knicks have been in the biggest way need shooters. In the game versus Atlanta, man, he was really efficient coming off those curls, man. And they gave him a lot of time down the stretch as well when the Hawks were chipping away, and he helped pull them away. What's your thoughts on Jenkins as well?
It's funny, Steve, when we talk about guys like that, it sort of gives you that, again, that one eye open, one eye closed. You know, if he couldn't make it with a team like Atlanta, not taking nothing away from his talent, there's always things that go on behind closed doors that we may never see. His work ethic, his practice skills, his attitude, whatever. But again, I always go back to the scary thing on trying to evaluate talent on the Knicks in a January, February, March. You know, our season's over. We're running guys in and out. The other team's basically just playing up to the talent. And let's be honest, our talent is not that good. But It's that double-edged sword, man. It makes you think about it. You know, like a Dennis Smith, like the young lady said. You know, Dennis Smith does have a chip on his shoulder for a couple of reasons, because the Knicks should have drafted him in the first place. That's one chip. Then going to Dallas and getting treated like that as a 20-year-old kid, 19 years old when he got there, you know, you're the one that drafted him. You knew he was 19 years old. But if you didn't see the upside in him, then shame on you, good for us. Because, again, I hate to keep saying it, I watched the kid play in high school. I watched him play at NC State. I watched him play at Dallas. He's even fooled me with how good of a passer he has become. So putting, again, it goes to any player, really. Being put in the right situation can be a world of difference. And Anna, I think that's her name, she's right. You know, he has that grittiness that we haven't had in a while. You've seen him get in people's faces. He damn sure ain't afraid to go to the basket. It ain't like he's 6'8", 230 pounds. He's a damn point guard. He goes to the basket with aggression. The one thing that we've been saying for 2 years that Ntilikina has lacked. Is he going to get it? You know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think I would put my eggs in that basket. And I'm not – I always got to tell you, Steve, because you know how much I like Smith. I got to take off my Smith hat every now and then, but when I just look at sheer ability, raw talent, I see a difference in Smith than I do in Ntilikina. Again, taking off my Dennis Smith hat, liking the kid from high school, whatever. I just see something different. I'm not a scout. I'm none of that, but we all watch ball, and there's certain things you see a player do. And not only can DeAndre Jordan help Mitchell Robinson, so can a Dennis Smith, because Dennis Smith's going to break people down, go into the basket, they charge at him, boom, there goes that lob to Mitchell Robinson, something he's not going to get with a Ntilikina or
right. Mm-hmm.
Again, if we're gonna keep rotating guards in and out our system, we're never going to establish stability. You know, your point guard is like your quarterback. You know, he's got to be the guy running the show. And if you keep doing this every year with a new point guard, where are we going to go? I mean, you need some stability, and they could all help each other. I mean, let's not forget, guys, Dennis Smith and Jordan played in Dallas together. So they know each other. I'm not saying that that's your total foundation going forward. Jordan's probably on his last leg or close to it. But he's another guy that has that it factor. That guy that's going to not be afraid to say, come on, guys, get in the game. You know, he has that, I hate to say, rah-rah, boom-bye-ism, but he's that kind of guy that could pick your head up when you're feeling down, and the Knicks are really down right now. So imagine if they had a little more talent. You know, guys know, hey, if this guy could be like this, and he's been in the league forever, done collected all the cash he's going to collect, if he still has that mentality, you know, that's, again, that goes back to that word we use ever so lightly in sports, leadership. You know, there's not really a lot of them guys out there, fellas, ladies and gentlemen. I told you before, Steve, I don't see him asking for a max contract anywhere. So if the Knicks could get him on the low, yeah, why not? Him and Mitchell Robinson, guess what? There's going to be a basket presence all day because one of them's coming in for the other one. So you're going to have that presence. Again, I just think going back to what Chandler said, you always got to look at the Knicks with one eye open and one eye closed. What is your plan? You know, just let us starving fans know what your plan is so we could prepare ourselves for either another 2 or 3 years of this, or if we do make a splash in free agency, okay. Now, again, here's the good part about that. Now we can pick and choose with those guys we're going to get to fill the bench instead of just settling. I said this from day one, Steve. We've had, until we got rid of Porzingis and Kanter, we had 8 lottery picks on our team at the start of this season. So when you keep talking about the lottery and building through the lottery, again, we had 8 of them on our team. None of them. Well, now we have 7 because we got Smith back, or got Smith. How has that worked out? Again, that one guy, you know, Anna echoed what I said, that one guy, Steve, that will say, you know what, I'm willing to give this a chance. They got some good young talent. I'm willing to give this a chance. That could snowball into something good. I mean, I'll tell you what, even looking low, guys, without getting winded, I would settle for Middleton right now. Get whatever you can, higher, lower. I would settle for a Middleton right now because I don't think he's going to demand as much as, say, a Klay Thompson. But he's a great shooter. So he's going to spread the floor. You're always going to have your eye on him. Now, whatever other pieces you land around him, bam, splash, trade your pick, get Anthony Davis, whatever. If you have that one constant, hey, you know what? Chris Middleton's a pretty good player. He took a chance. You never know. Just, again, Steve, just show us a plan of where you're going. And then, and you know, we sucked up enough in the last 20 years. I'm pretty sure we'll suck up another 2 or 3, as painful as that sounds. But I'm just saying, if you see the to go by what I always say with the Yankees, when the Yankees hit the reset button and decided to go with the youth, everybody got in an uproar. How's that working out for us right now? Pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. Now, of course, the Yankees didn't make us suffer for 20 years, but you got to have that plan of what you're really going to do. And let's go from there. And you know what, Steve? That Zion hasn't come back in the game yet.
Knicks fans are holding their breath. Chandler, anything you'd like to add to the dialogue, what Dominic said or Anna said or whatever I said? Anything you'd like to go with this, man, on this dialogue?
The DeAndre Jordan thing I think is going to be interesting because they have an opportunity to get a veteran leader on this team. And if they don't bring him back, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to kill David Fizdale every day, all day, next season.
Yeah, man.
Because you know how I feel about not having veteran leadership on a team. And DeAndre Jordan, at this stage, he's a better version of Rasheed Wallace in the sense of being a leader, being somebody that has done pretty much all of it, been through the wars, and has the respect, has enough respect in this league as a professional and how he's conducted himself, so that when we get to those third quarter lulls, or you on that 2 or 3 game losing streak, somebody can go in and say, "Nah, this is not how this is going to work. You're going to go out there and if you got to practice more, whatever. But we're going to win this next game." So to me, it's a must that DeAndre Jordan comes back. It's not a should be. It's a priority for me to have him there. I don't care who else you bring in. You still need a guy like that because he's a glue guy, you know. So for me, him, Dennis Smith Jr., I think in many ways the best thing to happen to him was playing for Rick Carlisle, because Rick Carlisle is awful. I hate Rick Carlisle as a coach and as a person. He's terrible, especially with young guards. So what Dennis Smith had to go through, I think, is going to help him in the long run, because he's going to understand that this is a business, number one, but also that, you know what, regardless of where you are, who the coach is, if you work hard and do what you got to do, the situation can change, and then you can have control over what happens with you. And in, and again, coming to an organization where maybe he's got a better coach, he can see the difference, because he's seen about the worst he's going to see as far as how an organization can treat a young player. Again, playing for Rick Carlisle. Like I said, Rick Carlisle is not a good guy when it comes to young guards. So in many ways, I think that really helped him, because it definitely should have hardened him up a little bit. It definitely should have toughened him up a little bit to let him understand what the NBA is really all about. So all of the kind of pie-eyed wonder and, oh, I'm in the NBA and it's so great and everybody loves me and the team is going to love me. Nah. Now you see the real side of the NBA. So hopefully he understands now that if he's going to be successful, it's about how hard he's going to work and what he has to do for himself. So I kind of think it's a positive. Yeah, he got screwed over in Dallas, but that could be a positive for me, which as Dom said, gives him that other chip on the shoulder to say, you know what? Oh, that's what y'all going to do? Okay, I got you. I just keep going back to what are they going to do with all of these guards. If they're not going to – if Frank is in their plans, they should have got rid of him. You know, what are you going to do with Moutier? Are you bringing Moutier back? Do we need Moutier now if you have Dennis Smith Jr. and you have Alonzo Trier? There's still too many questions, but I do agree that for the first time probably in, what, 20 years, they're in a position, if they make the right moves, to improve the franchise. I just don't know if I trust Steve Mills to make those moves is the biggest thing. But like I said, for me, the priority right now for me is DeAndre Jordan needs to come back and needs to be on this team for the next 2 to 3 years, regardless of who else we get. And then in the draft, what are they going to do? Because like I said, by the way, Zion hurt his knee tonight, 36 seconds into the game. So,
right.
You know what I'm saying? And what are they going to do in the draft? Are they going to get yet another guard? Are they going to go big? If you go big, what real good bigs are out there? It's, you know what? For once, the questions we're asking are actually good questions, even though we still have a lot of doubts. They're actually good questions for a change, rather than, you know, what lottery pick are we going to get to be on a terrible team?
All right. Great question. Anna, anything else you'd like to add? And I'll go on, and then we'll go around for final thoughts after that. But Anna, anything else you'd like to add?
No, you can go ahead.
All right. Wow, man, there's a lot of information to obtain, because there's a lot of moving pieces. And we're all trying to guess or trying to forecast where this franchise is going to do. And we have that X factor, like what Chandler said with Steve Mills. I don't know what he's thinking. I think a lot of this is going to depend on these players. Like, for instance, DeAndre Jordan and his relationships, if he even wants to stay in New York. I think right offhand, he's at $22 million for his contract. Now, if you resign him, I think for the right reasons, like you said, Chandler, you have to have a guy like that to even attract another NBA player, in the sense of he has these relationships. He played all those years in L.A., and a lot of those players that go to L.A., they network with that. That's like a network hub in the NBA's Los Angeles. It's not New York. A lot of that happens down in L.A. with the Clippers and the Lakers franchises. So a lot of those Western Conference teams, they play there twice a year. So basically, they play in L.A. four times a year. They develop a lot of relationships. They have the All-Star games there. They always have – they're in the back room. They're always talking. DeAndre Jordan is probably have a lot of – probably the most intangibles of all the players currently on the roster when it comes to – who else could we bring in to add on to this roster? Now, the only thing is, how much are you willing to pay him? Are the Knicks are willing to pay him whatever he decides on the market? He's not going to take no sort of discount. So that part kind of worries me as well. And Dominic, and you brought up the same point Mr. Live had brought up over the last couple of episodes, where instead of looking at this thing as two max players, build more of a well-rounded team with this 74 or possibility of a $74 million cap space. So you have the chance of building – you know, building with actual pieces, you probably could maybe add three or up to four people, a good quality teams, and build an actual team. Some everybody's not on the two-player max thing. You could actually build a good roster with good personnel. Good points with David Fizdale. It's like we can't really analyze what he did this year in some parts. Now, I mean, you can take it piece by piece. There's some coaching blunders where I think that the first Detroit game in Detroit where I thought he made a couple of mistakes, or games like even the last game where we won, we beat the Hawks, and I thought he did a nice job going with a certain lineup, with staying with Dennis Smith Jr., Alonzo Trier, Mitchell Robinson, John Jenkins. They had a more of a flow. There was good camaraderie, good chemistry when they stayed on the floor within the last 6-7 minutes of that game. But that's really hard to say after coming off an 18-game losing streak too. So, I mean, so many missing pieces, man. And it's really going to be a day-by-day thing. I mean, it's a lot of great things. This franchise, like Anna said, is in a unique situation because we haven't been in like this, I would say ever, man, because, I mean, Dom, you brought up the point, what, since the 2009-2010 free agency with Donnie Walsh, Amari Stoudemire. The Knicks have more cap space now than they did then. And then they're in a position of no going no lower than five if things bottom out. Great dialogue, guys, man. Great dialogue. Anna, if we could get some final thoughts from you on the Knicks or NBA, whatever you want to go, sports, your thoughts, because I've seen you go to bat and you've killed KP on his way out of town. If you want to chime in on that, if you guys are unaware, Anna went all in on social media on Kristaps Porzingis when he left town. And then we go to Dom and Chandler and we'll wrap up.
I mean, so my thing was going in on him. Like, I don't really care. Like, you wanted to get traded. Fine. You don't want to be here. Get the hell out. That's fine with me. My problem is the disrespect. And I get tired of players, you know, once they leave, to be disrespectful. And with KP, it wasn't more, to me, it wasn't towards the organization. It was towards the fans because you didn't even have the audacity, you know what I'm saying, to say thank you to the fans. You know what I'm saying? Like, regardless of whatever your beef was with the organization, we still backed you up. We still bought your sneakers. We still bought your merchandise. We still supported you. And for whatever reason, I personally felt disrespected as a lifelong fan because you always say thank you to the fans, period. If you don't say thank you to the city, to the organization, to your teammates, you see what I'm saying? Like, you say thank you to the fans because at the end of the day, we come, we buy the tickets, we do all that good stuff. So usually, you know, I give them a little 24 hours to, you know, but then when I seen his little Twitter post about with the picture of him and Luka, and I'm like, oh, so that's how he want to go? So then I just went crazy. Like, I don't like that. Don't do that. Because at the end of the day, like, y'all just like me. We rock that front of that jersey. That should say New York. You know what I'm saying? I don't care whose number's on it. I don't care what name it say on the back. Don't disrespect my team ever. And so he had to hear it, and that's just it. And then like, I mean, like 20 minutes later, he posted his little thank you. But it's too late, bro. Like, it's too late. You already said what you had to say. Like, your initial reaction, that's how you really felt. So I'm good on you. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for Dallas to clear him so I can go to that game. I don't care who's playing him. I'm going.
Oh, man, shout out to Anna. Thank you very much for chiming in. On with the platform, it's great to hear from you. Oh, man, it's just that perspective is savage on social media, man. Savage, you're savage. Thank you very much, man. Good talking with you. Talking Knicks, man.
All right.
We only have a few more games left, man, so we got to embrace this season for whatever it's worth. This free therapy with Dominic and Chandler, Knickerbocker Avenue, and Mr. Live, and whatever, whenever Lil Dre from the Rack to the Rack calls in, man. We got to hear from Knicks fans. Enjoy the season for what it is, for the lack thereof, man. I mean, Knicks fans, that's all we got, man. Let's go to you, Dominic. What's your final thoughts, and then we'll go to Chandler.
I know I don't watch a lot of the NBA All-Star weekend stuff. This year I happen to watch it, of course, because Dennis Smith was in the slam dunk contest. But I'm so tired of these commentators that just over-talk, because they blew a good moment when Dennis Smith, of course, was in the slam dunk contest, and he goes and grabs J. Cole out the audience. And not one person correlated that these guys went to the same high school. It was like Dennis Smith just went and grabbed J. Cole out the audience because he's J. Cole. They didn't even correlate that, and some didn't even correlate the same high school when he put Cole's high school jersey on. They went to the same – now, years apart, granted, but they went to the same high school. So you blew an opportunity to at least try to educate fans, because everybody don't live in Fayetteville, North Carolina, like me. You know, Fayetteville isn't just Fort Bragg and Special Forces. You know, we – you know, J. Cole, Dennis Smith, these young men came from this little town. And Reggie Miller, Chris Webber, and Kenny Smith just rattling. But, you know, that's just a personal thing because I kind of like Dennis Smith. And then when I saw him pull J. Cole, I was like, man, look at that. That's great. He pulled his own little homie out from the audience, even though he's J. Cole. Nobody correlated that. But with the Knicks, like I said to start this, Steve, and I hope everybody thinks about this, this, to me, is do or die with the Knicks and their front office and their coaching and everything else this season. You know, this offseason is going to prove, you know, whether y'all are full of you-know-what or you actually have a plan. It's hard to judge Fizdale, guys, as far as being a Knick coach, but let's be brutally honest. He hasn't proved himself as a coach, period. We could go into the him and the Casal thing, but, you know, if you want to just judge him on his assistant coaching record, wow, then there's a lot of great coaches out there that coach for San Antonio that are still assistant coaches. So we really got to – maybe I got to build some trust in this guy. I'm sort of like Chandler with the snake oil salesman. But this is it, guys. This summer is going to prove to us just what the hell y'all are doing and just show us. That's all. This season's a wash, like the last five. Give me some meaningful basketball after January. That's all I ask as a fan.
All right, shout out to Denardo DP. Thank you very much. And of course, Chandler, Night Channel 7, your final thoughts.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about the Hall of Fame for a minute because I see a lot of people stumping for Chris Webber. Listen, Marcus Johnson and Sidney Moncrief are not in the Basketball Hall of Fame. I don't want to hear about Chris Webber, but Marcus Johnson and Sidney Moncrief are not in the Basketball Hall of Fame. They should have been in. They need to be in. And until they get in, Chris Webber can go sit down somewhere. Okay, period, end of story. But Marcus Johnson needs to be in the Basketball Hall of Fame. How he's not is a travesty that he's not, especially Sid the Squid. One of the greatest defensive basketball players in the history of this league. How are they not in the Hall of Fame? So miss me with all this nonsense about Chris Webber when Marcus Johnson still ain't in the Hall of Fame.
That's unbelievable.
Just on his college career.
I didn't realize that. Right, I didn't realize that. I assumed he
his
was
college
already in
career
there.
Warrants that, Chandler.
Right.
Huh?
Marcus Johnson's college career
absolutely
warrants that.
Exactly.
Unless
exactly
you don't know where, you know, who he was. I mean.
Or not. Mark, I'm shocked. I'm really shocked that he wasn't in based off his college career alone. Sidney Moncrief as well, man. He was an amazing scorer. You know, I don't know, man. That's probably going to have to be another episode for another time. We might have to get into that because I never really like the way the NBA does the Hall of Fame. Everybody and their mama gets in. And I don't understand why when it comes to that. But we'll talk about that another time, man. Well, shout outs to Anna, Dominic, and Chandler. Of course, this episode is going to be on the website, BleedBlueShow.com. You can stream all the episodes or download them right from BleedBlueShow.com. And iTunes Podcast Republic, tuning in your Stitcher apps. Been a great week of sports, man. It's great to hear from Dominic and Chandler and Anna. We'll be back next Wednesday. Talk more Knicks, talk more NBA, talk more hoops. And Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue.